Rob Parr,
Central Avenue.
We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
This is a Homemade Broadcast radio production.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle free count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
My name is Will Koontz, and let me present to you the effervescent Anna Hummel.
What's up, guys? Happy leap day, Eve.
That's right. That's right.
Tomorrow.
An extra
29th.
An extra day of 2024, what everybody wanted, an extra day of the end of the world. That's what we're talking about. Yeah.
Do you remember what you did last leap year day? Because I remember what you did.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, hell no. I don't remember what I did last night.
Well, you know me and my freakish memory, okay? Let me paint the picture. It was 2020. COVID hadn't quite hit. I mean, it was around. It was sniffing around the buckle brush. It still hadn't even hit Sarasota, which was, I think, the first spot it hit in Florida. It was like, woman in Sarasota, COVID. I just come back from Okeechobee Music Festival. You know, I was shaking hands. I didn't care about anything. It was a different world back then. On February 29th, 2020, I convinced you and maybe about 12 of your closest friends to meet me at a little place called Saigon Blonde.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if you remember who was in attendance that day, but his name was Marbles.
That's the only name I know him by.
Marbles was there, and I think it may have been the only time that, well, they're your friends, but whatever, my friends by proxy met him. Mm-hmm. And I remember they came out, they being the couple came out, and whatever, I could see he was like slightly uncomfortable, but you know, he just didn't know the people. And then he left, and then 8 months later he was dead. So there's that. So I remember that vividly.
Not only dead, but took some people with him.
A person, yes. A woman named Sabrina, unfortunately. Okay.
Rest in peace. Yeah. Poor angel.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So anyways, 4 years later, here we are.
Wow. Well, that's that you have a great memory. I wish I could I wish I had.
Right.
And only, I guess, with the murderers and people who were murdered, maybe. But even so.
It's crazy. Like, I listen to people talk about sports all day long and nothing sticks until they like rape someone or like drown a dog or punch a woman in an elevator. Now all of a sudden I can remember where they went to college and like,
well, I know all those Ray Rice. I know exactly what you're talking about. Ray Rice, Michael Vick. And what was the first one you said? What was the crime? I could tell you what player
raped a woman.
Oh, that could be a lot. Like Ben Roethlisberger was accused of that.
The guy from the Steelers, right?
Yeah. Is that the one you were thinking about? So we should do that. We should run a test. Maybe if I can remember to do that next week, I'll quiz you and I'll give you an athlete and then, or I'll give you the crime and you have to guess the athlete.
Yeah. I mean, if it's like Aaron Hernandez, I'm going to nail it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Michael Vick, Adrian Peterson, I think beat his kids.
Yeah. Right? Something like that.
Controversy?
Some abuse, I believe. Yeah.
Antonio Brown. I know Tyreek Hill's been in some trouble. But other than that, those are all the athletes I know, at least on the football field. So
there are a lot of the same crimes, though. So we'll have to like get really specific with them to figure out the culprit.
You know? So that's when they come into my radar. And then that's when I can actually start remembering who they are and what they've done. Unless they're Tom Brady, but he's in a league of his own. So
I'll give you an easy one just to kind of test to see how the game would go. This professional athlete. I don't think he's in the Hall of Fame, but I don't know. Maybe he is. No, because that would have been a story about removing him from the Hall of Fame, probably. But this professional athlete was acquitted in 1990-something for the murder of his ex-wife and her potential new lover. Anna Hummel.
Who is O.J. Simpson?
Nope. Nope.
I will eat you. I will eat your ass.
I thought I had a dinger on there. Sorry.
No.
I had a bunch of wrong.
That's what he did.
Yeah. No, you got it right. That's right. O.J. Simpson. Right.
I thought you said I got it wrong. I was like.
No, no, no. You definitely got it right. I just thought I had a like a ding, ding, ding.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
They're all just yelling.
OJ played for the Buffalo Bills at some point, I think, and USC.
That's correct. No, wait, did OJ Simpson play at USC or is that Marcus Allen?
I don't know who that other person is, but.
Okay, now I got to look it up.
I can tell us. I think he was a Trojan.
Yeah, that sounds right, but I also feel like it could be like OJ Simpson College. Let's see. He played at the. University of Southern California.
Suck it.
How about that?
Word. Okay. I can't remember if we can say that.
So next week, if I have the time, I'll put together a little game and I'll quiz you. And then we'll do bonus, like, can you guess where that athlete went to college? Like that sort of thing.
I mean, that's going to be very few. Again, I just know that Aaron Hernandez, UF.
Yep.
Murdered someone.
Yeah.
Maybe two people. Yeah.
Well, I think you're going to do really well, and I'm looking forward to that game. I think it's going to be fun. I'm 6 minutes late. I'm sorry. I made the mistake of thinking I started my new schedule at this dumb day job that I have now. So I get off now at 4:30 p.m., which is like, that's pretty good, right? I feel like that's good. And I'm like, I work remote, so I'm home. So I can just kind of like go to the pool for a little bit, like whatever. But today it was a little cloudy. So I'm like, all right, well, I have to run some errands. I have to return a few things to Amazon.com and drop it off at the UPS store. The UPS store closes at 6. I got to go to UPS anyway for my mailbox for my second day job. And so I was like, okay, well, I'll just go run down there. I feel like we talked about this a few weeks ago. I'm not leaving the house during like 4 to 6 p.m. I'm just not going to do it. I might even push it to 7 because the traffic is insane. I left at 4:40 from Pinellas Park, Florida, in the same state. And I ended up going to St. Petersburg, Florida, not even downtown, but to like 38th Avenue North and 4th Street. And it took me over an hour. And I had to quickly jump in the grocery store. So never doing it again. I'm 6 minutes late. So sorry about that.
Oh, I mean, listen. I love it when you're late because then I feel like next time I'm late, you could be less mad at me. So I'm just building up credit. So
I think I have a lot of excess time in my bank than you do. But no, I'm never mad.
Not how I see it, Fred.
I just like to start on time. That's all.
I get it. I'm trying to be better about it. And I think I've been pretty good recently.
Mm.
Right?
You have been. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Give me credit. Okay, cool.
No complaints.
Yeah, I'm trying to be better because it's a sign of respect and I need to remember that. So
it is. And also just like it's a personality thing, though. There's like some people that are always late. There's some people that are, you know, always early, which is on time. My feeling is you have to be a little early if you're on time.
And then there's like the boomer dads. Maybe your dad's like this, maybe not, but my father is, which is like he's 2 hours early. Like he's obnoxiously early. Anytime we were going to the airport, it was, you know, you're leaving 4 hours before your flight, sort of a deal, getting there 3 hours early. But because he likes to sit, he likes to just, he's ready.
Mm.
But unfortunately, that missed the next generation.
So. You're a female, too. So I think that kind of, no disrespect to the ladies, but I just feel like that there's a little bit more, I don't know, being late. Tardiness with the gal.
I've met females who run early and on time, but I've met more men that are prompt when it comes to time. I like to think of myself as like time optimistic, if that makes sense.
No,
like when
it
I start
doesn't.
To calculate how much time it will take me to do things, I'm like, I could do that in an hour. I could do that in an hour. I could go to the gym and be back in an hour. And then 2.5 hours later, I'm like, how did that even happen?
Oh, that's what happened? Like if I have an hour of time, I'm like, I don't have any time to do that. which is wild. I don't know if it's one of those things where time, you know, time's relative. We know this. And it's one of those things.
Thank you, Albert Einstein.
That's right. And it's one of those things, too, where the older you get, the faster time goes. And I am a few years older than you. So maybe I'm just moving.
That's very true. I'm pretty young.
But if I have an hour, like if I said, I'm going to go for a run, I have an hour before work or something. Nope. I have no time to do that. An hour is zero time. And at 1 hour, 60 minutes is zero.
See, that's probably the way I should think. But if I have an hour, I mean, I could do two workouts. I could write an essay. I could go to the gym. I could, like today, I had an hour and I was like, okay, what could I do? I need to do something. I had already gone to jiu-jitsu, but I just felt like I needed more. And it was really nice outside. So I'm like, I'm going for a power walk. Like an old friggin' denuded B word, just retired in like my oversized sweatshirt. I just took off. For the next 35 minutes, power walking around. Loved it.
I got to say, I miss that so much. I used to be able to do that with just the one, you know, position that I held that paid me money. And I used to be able to just like leave for an hour, hour and a half, and then come back and, you know, get busy, get to what I was doing, but cannot do that now. Now I'm a, you know, hourly employee that's clocked. With every movement of the mouse stroke that I make, I am clocked now. So I just don't have that freedom anymore. But it is going to be, it's not this coming weekend, right? It's like 2 weeks away is the daylight savings. So then we're going to get some, I can go actually go outside and get some sun at like 6, even if I wanted to. And it's still going to be sunny.
Yes. It's funny because like there's always like good and bad every time the time changes, you know, like, when it gets darker earlier, when you fall back, it's like, dang, it's going to get dark really early. But I gain an hour, you know, I gain an hour. And then the reverse happens, obviously, in the spring. So it's like, yeah, it's going to be light until 7:30, 8 o'clock. But then you're like, dude, I got to wake up now at 4 a.m. I'm waking up at 4 a.m.
No, but that's the wrong way to look at it. You're much like time. You're looking at time wrong again here. It's for one night. You zap ahead. I guess you're right because you got to get used to the new schedule, but you get up at the same time. You get up at the same time, right? I mean,
why does 1 hour throw me off? Is it because I'm old? Is that what happens where you're just like, you know what? I'm way off base today. It's an hour different, but it really does throw me the F off.
But for one day, for that Sunday, and then make it on a Sunday.
Maybe, but also not really. I just, because mean? Then my mind, you know what it is? It's a psychological thing. Cause now I'm like, I'm waking up at 4.
Yeah.
I'm waking up at like this time tomorrow, it's going to be 4 a.m. and I'm going to be waking up.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. We're springing forward though. So you're not waking up at 4. You're waking up an hour later. Cause we spring forward.
You lose an hour, don't you?
You lose an hour. No, you lose an hour when you fall back. As you get, well, I guess you, I don't know. You it's gain confusing. An hour.
Here's the thing, like, so if I set my alarm and we spring forward, yeah, it's 5 a.m., but yesterday it was 4 a.m. It was 4 a.m.
Yeah, for one
now
day.
It's 5.
For one day. So you lose
I'm old,
an
dude.
Hour.
It takes me a while to adjust, bro.
Yeah, it takes you a few days, but it's going to be so much better. So you get in the fall, you get the darker earlier, which sucks, but you get nicer weather. Usually you get some cool weather coming in.
That's true. Yeah.
And now we're kind of like getting into, okay, now it's later and now it's going to be hot as hell. And especially here in Florida.
Yeah.
So now you got to worry about that. So
yeah.
Nothing's ever
but
perfect.
Also, like, the wintertime is it's way more conducive to my schedule because I got to go to bed early, even though I don't. So it's nice to like start winding down even at like 5:30. It's good for me to like start getting ready to go to bed versus like when it's light out at 8 o'clock, I want to party. And by party, I mean like stay awake.
Yeah. So. Oh, my God. My girl goes to bed so early.
Really?
And it's kind of making me go. She's kind of making me go to bed earlier.
That's good. That's so good. That's so good.
Okay, but
what's early, by the way?
That's what I'm going to say. Like, what's early to you? When you say, I say she goes to bed early.
I'm thinking 9:30 she's in bed.
Last night it was 9.
Lights off at nine or like watching TV?
Lights off. And see, this place is like a townhome. So I do have my little office across the hall, but I don't obviously want to be loud and having lights on and stuff because we got the, we got it finagled so much that like you can't even close the bedroom door. So it's always open. And I feel guilty. I don't want to be too loud. And if you can't be too loud, if you got to be super quiet. Then it's just like, well, let's just go, I'll go to bed.
What time does she wake up?
Oh my God. I think she got up at like 5 this morning.
What time does she have to, what time does she have to clock in by, like 8?
Well, I think she starts at 8, but she says she usually gets started a little earlier, like 7.
And she, I mean, I know the layout of your place because I've been there. She's feet away from where she needs, from her workspace.
Yeah, but she doesn't.
What does she do?
So I get up, but she's not, she's kind of just like downstairs. Like ripping the bong or something and like having some coffee or something, you know? So, you know, maybe she's walking around. I don't know. I don't know what she's doing during
you
that time.
You don't know?
I don't get up. I got up at 6:45 today.
That's pretty good. And you have to clock in at 8, I imagine, right?
8, yeah. So that gives me some time to, well, as we talked about, 60 minutes is zero time. So really I got 15 minutes essentially to do stuff. So that's when I, you know, take my poops and, you know, then it's just like pretty much all of a sudden I look up and it's time to clock in. I've been really depressed. So depressed.
Really?
Yeah. Like not really eating that much. I have no desire to, do much of anything. I'm so bummed. Let me tell you something, and I'm going to tell our 10 people that are in here this too.
Is the fat pig here?
I haven't seen the fat pig yet. I'm going to go through the comments too. I saw some good comments in there. I want to get to.
They were inquiring what time we were starting today, so I let them know.
Oh, good. Yes. I guess we're going to move it to 6 p.m. now because I'm available.
Okay, you were just about to tell me something really depressing, so please.
Well, I want to start off with a high point. Because my life has been like, I'm fine, I'm happy, but I'm just, it's a lot of changes, you know, that have been going on in my life. I miss the radio very much. I miss being able to do it every night. But I'm in a new situation. I'm here with the love of my life. It's great. And the cats are here. That's good.
Barb.
And
Junebug.
Little Junebug running around, a Barbie doll. You know, I got the cats. That's good. I got my girl and I got, but I don't have the radio anymore. I don't have, you know, I have to go to bed at 9:30. I don't have to, but that's what's going to happen. And, you know, I have to work this stupid, mindless job that I absolutely not despise. And I'm grateful for that. Like, I'm happy to have it, you know, in this economy and everything, but I hate it. I don't want to be doing this. And it takes up a lot of your time. And I'm also, like I said, I'm very aware of time. And I know that it's inching, you know, minutes and minutes and minutes are adding up out of my lifespan here. And I'm going to be 40 years old. And like, what am I doing? It's like it's crushing my soul. Anyway, so I've just been kind of bummed out. But something good happened. And I want to tell you something good and then something that you will think is funny and good. And I would think it was funny if it happened to somebody else, but not me, but unfortunately it happened to me. One of the other things is, I don't know if it was my stress levels. It's also cold and flu season now. I had a cold over the weekend and I'm still kind of getting over it now. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, but
barely.
I had a little bit of a cold and, I was heavily medicated. I didn't want to miss the weekend. Cause now that's all I'm working for the weekend. Like I'm a working man. I got to enjoy the weekend. I'm not going to be sitting inside. I had to sit inside a few weeks ago cause it was raining, you know? So it rained until Monday morning. And then it was a bright sunny day on Monday morning and it crushed it. I'm sitting there looking out the window. Like, why are you doing this to me?
Yeah. That was not this last weekend, but the one prior, I remember.
Yeah. And I felt like it was a personal slight against me. And I felt like God knew that I was sad and he sent a rainy weekend my way just to kind of stick it to me a little bit.
Yeah.
But over the weekend, the University of South Florida Bulls basketball team took on the Southern Methodist Mustangs. And this was a big game because I know you don't follow sports and I know you particularly don't follow college basketball.
I sure don't.
But the Bulls were going, like, if they won this game, they were probably going to be ranked in the top 25. You know, they could potentially make the March Madness bracket if they do that.
The top 16? 32?
It's like 64. I think it starts at 64, I believe.
Also, top 25 means you get in the bracket.
I don't know how they do it. But I would imagine, I think you got to win your conference, and then there's, I don't know, there's different playing games. Right. I don't know. I don't follow it, so I don't really know. So my buddy asked if I wanted to go to the game, and I was like, I have to go outside. Like, I have to be outside. So I went ahead, though, and I don't know if you've used the Hard Rock Bet app. You can sports bet.
I sure haven't, no.
You should try it. I know of it. You should try it, and I think you should try it because I know what I'm doing with, like I watch a lot of football, right? I don't watch basketball, really, and I don't watch college basketball. But I've been throwing, you know, $5 here, $10 here at college basketball games, and I, like, win a lot during those things. I would say at least half. And then what I also do is I bet the teams that are, like, not favored to win and not favored to win by a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And because that means you get better odds. So you can turn $5 into, like, I've hit, like, turn five into $40, $60 real quick. And I've done that a few times. So I had $238 in my Hard Rock account. So I go, I can't be at the...
How much? How much were you up?
So I did, I think I told you I hit that bet for the Super Bowl and I won like $550 on that one.
You didn't tell me that.
Did I tell you that? Okay. So I won during the Super Bowl. I hit $550
on for there. What?
The Chiefs
some
winning.
Some prop bets or what?
No, just the Chiefs winning. There was at the half, I had 200 something bucks in there from just doing that, like nickel and diamond with the college basketball games. And, I had money in there and I was drunk. And I saw that Kansas City was like 6-3 San Francisco or something at the half. And it was like +300 with the Chiefs. And I'm like, it's only 3 points. I was like, I'm going to take the Chiefs. I'm going to take the experience here. So I turned that 230 into 550, I think it was.
You wagered all of it.
All of it. Hammered. Just like, see ya.
I believe you.
But also it was kind of calculated, even though it wasn't, you know, it was risky, but it wasn't... you know, my inhibitions were down.
Ridiculous, yeah.
So,
and it was an insane game. Like, I don't like football. I don't like sports. And I was like, it was a nail biter. It was great.
Mm-hmm. So Kansas City won. I won that money. That was awesome. I transferred that money into my Venmo account. Then I deposited some money, lost a little bit, and I only deposit like 20 something bucks at a time. This is a very long winded way to say what I'm saying. But anyway, some of that went back to the casino, but then I got it back and I logged something like 238 bucks, I think it was. So I couldn't be at the game. I had to be outside, but I said, you know what? I think USF's going to win, and USF won. And I bet that USF was going to win the whole shebang. So boom, 500 something bucks won on that. Then I'm sitting there, I'm outside at the beach, and I'm sitting there and I see this score, and it's like American. It's a school called American, which I didn't know existed. I didn't know that was a thing. And then they were playing, I don't know, some other small school, but it was like +500, meaning that for whatever 100 you put down, I can't explain this, but anyway, I had $500 in my account, and I almost put $500 on American, but I didn't do it. I pulled back. If I was drunk, I probably would have done it.
So how much did you put on this American team?
$100.
And you got 500 from it.
And then I got another 500 in one day. So $1,000 in a day. I've done better at this, at sports gambling, than I have...
in life. Freaking,
yeah, on Bitcoin, on stocks. Like, I'm better. I'm really about to take whatever money I have in, like, Ethereum or whatever that's still left in there and just sports bet with it, because I feel like I might do better. I don't know.
Do it.
I don't know. So that was cool. That was exciting. but I was also, like I told you, I was very ill. I was not feeling good. So to mask that, what I did was I pounded a bunch of medication.
What kind?
I put a bunch of Mucinex in my body, the good Mucinex from behind the counter. And I think I mixed in some other things there. And I was at the beach and I said, this vitamin D will help me feel better. And we got some submarine sandwiches from the Italian market that's right down the road here in Pinellas Park.
You go to?
The Cosmos. It's on 49th Street. It's really good. Highly recommend it. And so I ate my sandwich and Julia took a picture of me right before that on the beach. And right after I finished the sandwich, it was an Italian sandwich. It was nice and greasy. But like I said, I wasn't well and I had a lot of medication in me. And I went to go sit down in the chair. I didn't have a bathing suit on. I just had like shorts on. And in fact, I had those terry cloth shorts, like towel material, because I knew I wasn't getting in the water or anything. It's too cold. And I felt a little, what I thought was a fart coming on. And we had literally just got there. And the fart, like, didn't really make noise. It didn't really do anything. And I went, huh, that's unusual. And it wasn't even a lot of, it was just like a little tiny one. It was barely anything. In fact, I don't even think I realized what was happening. I think my sphincter was asleep at the wheel. I think I drugged, like, NyQuil'd my sphincter. Because I was like, what was that? Like, I was surprised. Like, I can't believe I couldn't control that. And I go, well, that's weird. And I'm a little concerned. I'm a little concerned right now. And I go to sit down and I go, uh-oh, now I'm a lot concerned. I am a lot concerned right now. And Julia can see the look of horror, like the fear. She said there's a look of fear on my face. And I got back up after I sat down and she's like, what? I'm like, nothing. And I'm kind of figuring out, like, what do I do right now? I said, well, first I need to confirm if in fact I may have had an accident.
What color were your shorts?
Yellow.
Ooh.
Like a bright yellow.
So, which contrasts well with dark brown.
Which I gotta tell you, like, after, like, I know I've been with my lady now for many years, and I know she's the one for me, but boy, this really sealed the deal, I gotta tell you, because I didn't know what to do. So she was like, tell me what? And I was like, I can't tell you. I was like, you don't understand. I can't tell you, because it's really one of those things that you don't want your significant other knowing.
Right.
But at this point, she was the only one around, and I could have asked a stranger, I guess, but I was just like, I'm afraid I might have had an accident in the backside because of the medication and the Italian sub. And she was like, let me see. And I turned around and I just saw her face drop, like her face dropped. And she went, oh, yeah. Yeah. And I went, oh, I said, well, I gotta go. She's like, well, get in the water. I'm like, no, the water's freezing, number one, but I don't have, like, a bathing suit on. This is just, like, I have underwear and, like, terry cloth shorts on. So, no, I can't. I can't go into the water. And I go, well, I got to go. I'm sorry. I have to leave. And she goes, okay, well, see ya. And I go, I'll come back. I guess I'll come back. And she gave me her towel, God bless her heart, to wrap around me and hide the stain in the back. And I walked back to the car, you know, a quarter mile, something like that, back to the car. I got in the car and I started to drive quickly down Golf Boulevard. And I hit a, what do you call it? Drawbridge. The drawbridge was up. So I had to sit there in my own mess while the drawbridge is up. And I drove home quickly. And just threw everything away, threw the undies.
It was bad.
It was, they probably could have been washed because it wasn't like super, it was like medicine and not eating very much. Like, it was more like bile than anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And So, but I was just like, I can't look at these again. Like, these are cursed. They're going in the garbage. So I just threw those in the garbage. And I did wash the towel. And I was like, I don't know. I did let her know that I washed the towel. And she seemed to be okay with that. But it's still sitting up on the washing machine. She hasn't used it since, which I don't blame her. That might be my towel now.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Is it a nice towel?
It's a pretty nice towel.
Yeah. Oh, damn. Yeah.
So, that was a high point for me. You know, winning a cool G is nice. Paid my rent this month. And then I also messed my pants in the back at the same week.
Wow. What a roller coaster ride.
Super roller coaster.
Just sad, bummed out.
Yeah.
Open messes, but winning money.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So
it is crazy. That is the best way to describe it.
I feel like I made a mess. I feel like I piddled a little bit. So,
well, I'm worried. I don't want her knowing. Like, and first of all, I haven't. Like that. That's probably like the third time in my life that I've done that. Like, that's not something that happens all the time. And I heard that she told her brother, under the assumption that he would think it was funny, and she was like, he didn't laugh very much. Like,
he didn't laugh.
I think he just felt bad.
Oh, that's not good. That means you're like old.
Yeah. That's you like know, I'm Joe
when,
Biden.
When someone's first thought is concern, that is concerning for you, you know, because I didn't feel bad for you. I thought it was funny as hell.
No, if it would happen to somebody else, I would have loved it. I would have pointed and been like, Oh my God.
But,
it's been a roller coaster of a, you know, past few months. Since 2024 has been a roller coaster, and we get one more day. So that's good.
Are you feeling optimistic about the future or no?
In some ways, yes. In some ways, no.
Okay.
I feel like I'm moving into a different epoch of my life.
Okay. You know?
And that could be, I'm also worried that our government is going to get us into a major conflict with other powers that be across the country. Or, you know, I'm going to get stabbed by some Venezuelan, you know, crossing the street.
Yeah, that could happen.
It could.
Yeah.
It very well could happen.
It does from time to time.
It does from time to time. So, I don't know. Are you optimistic about the future?
I am.
You are.
I feel good about things. It's like there's no reason why. I guess it's just I might as well be excited because why not? You know, I start much like you, not that I'm going to be 40 anytime soon, but the years keep going by quicker and quicker. It's pretty much March, which is insane. And I'm like, dude, I think Bobby Kelly said this joke and it like stuck with me, even though it doesn't really apply. But he's like, I got like 22 summers left. And he's in his 50s, obviously. Yep. But I was like, wow, I probably have about, if I'm really lucky, like 40, 35, something like that. So I better just try to enjoy the ride.
Yeah. Because
there's going to be a lot of stuff I miss. There's going to be a lot of stuff I won't be able to do, countries I won't be able to see for whatever reason. So I'm just trying to think like day to day, try to, you know, be optimistic. And I'm going to have bad days. That happens. But for the most part, I try to stay relatively optimistic about like, listen, if I'm going to be on this ride, I might as well just try to enjoy myself the best I can.
Yeah. I think that's smart. That's the way to look at time too, is you start looking at more in the macro than the micro. You know, cause that's really, well, maybe it's something in between there, but, I saw some comments that I wanted to get to here. Jason says the Calta show had you under oath today. And Mike said, you're the most underrated on the bone. I agree. I actually did hear this, Jason. And he said that kind of by, not that I'm most underrated. He said he thinks I'm good and that I don't get enough opportunities. And for that, I agree with him 100%. That's for sure. I did get to do last Saturday for a few hours though with Isaiah Chavez.
Oh, I know who he is. I'm saying for what?
I guess John Brennan messaged me and said that he had, for whatever reason, there was like a hockey game on Saturday, so he had a few hours. I guess Mike O didn't want to do his show, so he let me have that hour and a half.
You had to like comment on the hockey game, or
no, No, it was absolutely zero hockey talk. It was just whatever I wanted to talk about. So I talked
to you and Isaiah.
Me and Isman.
Nice.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was good. It was good. I had fun with Isaiah. We talked about like dongs and a bunch of other, you know, fun stuff.
He's a good guy, Isaiah.
He is.
He's weird, but he means well, and he's always looking to help people. So
yeah. Fat Pig says, I just saw this was live. Thanks so much to Anna Hummel. Agreed.
Thank you, Fat Pig. I appreciate you.
The Fat Pig is my favorite screen name.
It is so funny, just because every time I read it, Bubba is just like, why'd you say about me? I'm like,
yeah.
It's really funny.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
Anna will go shout out to Mosh Shelton. That's cool.
Oh, wow. Thanks, I don't think I've seen Mosh, what, in 6 years? Five years?
Long time. Long freaking time.
I hope you're well, sir. Is he associated with the Bone? Doesn't he have like a show or something?
I think he's an affiliate. No, he does. Well, he used to do. I think he said that once I left, he doesn't do Johnny's show anymore. Like he just doesn't call in anymore, and Johnny doesn't prompt him to call in. So
I know he was like banned for a while. Like him and Drew had a falling out or something.
Yeah,
and
something like that.
We were unable to have him on the show for at least the last half that I was on the show.
A couple of years. Yeah, but he's doing all right. He's doing good. He won the best radio show and bet for.
I did see that on a creative.
I had to pay him $100 for that.
Woo!
See, so I'm good at some bets, but not good at other bets.
Not good at others.
We're just about out of time here, Anna. But I guess we could do some sort of. And in fact, I was so late that I didn't even pull up my page of prep that I still do. Do you ever use that?
Sometimes.
Okay, good. You could definitely do that. I was just wondering if you ever did, because I feel like I get some good bangers, but I rarely get to talk about them. Unfortunately, I just don't have the energy right now to do any other vids or anything.
And you're feeling mostly better, right? Are you still on heavy amounts of medication or?
Actually, I don't think I took any today.
Okay, good.
Which is good.
Good. How's the drinking going?
It's better. It's okay. Better. Slow down a little bit. Yeah.
Okay, good.
I did have a drink though. I didn't get drunk. I had a drink before bed at 8:30, and then I was like, I gotta go to bed.
All right.
So not too bad.
Mm-mm.
Kevin says, are you going to co-host with Dizzy after the morning show? I've not been asked to do that, and frankly, I couldn't. Even if I would do that, sure.
He's got a job, folks.
But yeah, I can't. I got a job during that time, so couldn't do that. Did you hear about the comedy club in Seattle that canceled four comedians?
No.
Let me pull this up here. It is very Seattle, right?
Anyone I know?
Yeah, there was some. I think it was like Kurt Metzger and. Who else? It was Jim Florentine, I believe. Which aren't particularly, like, I don't think that they're very controversial figures, I thought. Like,
I feel like anybody who's in comedy who's not, you know, a woke libtard or something. I feel like most of those guys are pretty, quote, controversial just by nature of not being super woke, you know?
Well, they're white males.
That's true.
And they're not totally on board. Oh, the four comedians were, and I know you know this one, Dave Smith. We love Dave Smith.
You do love Dave Smith.
Louis J. Gomez.
Yep. Saw him a couple months ago.
Jim Florentine and Kurt Metzger, all known for being right of center or are they right of center? I mean, Dave Smith's a libertarian. I guess you could say that. Louis J. Gomez seems apolitical to me. Jim Florentine never thought about him as political at all. And Kurt Metzger, I guess I could see that, maybe, but he's seems to be pretty open-minded to me. But the comedians say they received an email from club co-owner and booker Jess Anderson. Okay. Jess Anderson.
Jess. Got it.
Who was also a stand-up comic. I should have pulled up some of her stand-up. I forgot. Saying that the gigs had been canceled. The decision came after discussions with our team, investors, local comedians, and neighborhood advocacy groups. So the Capitol Hill is known for its progressive values, and we've received significant feedback expressing concerns about the alignment of these upcoming shows with the neighborhood's ethos. The feedback includes concerns from local advocacy groups that are deeply embedded in our community and work towards upholding these values. Anderson wrote that the cancellations were meant to avoid any potential negative impact on both our club and the artists involved, as well to maintain harmony with our community. What she means is she didn't want some lunatic to smash our windows because Dave Smith was in there saying that Joe Biden's an old asswipe or something.
Yeah. Did you see the Shane Gillis monologue?
I didn't see.
Oh man, I haven't watched. It is so good because it is so uncomfortable. Like the there, you'll when you watch it, you'll see the scowl this woman has, who's like part of the band behind him, and she's not having any of it. And I just got to get, it wasn't like the best material, and you could tell he was very nervous just because he was making jokes about, you know, his family members with Down syndrome. You know, he's being Shane Gillis, and the crowd was just like not having it. And he is just like, he's just riding it out. And I have so much more respect for him, even though I always did. But I feel like this put him on a new pedestal, because most people would try to, you know, adjust their set or whatever so the crowd would like it. Nope. He just went full throttle and just went through it. And it was awesome.
Did you watch the whole show with Shane hosting?
I've seen, I think I saw one of the sketches, but it was just the monologue I watched pretty much.
Okay. Maybe I'll go, but is it worth, should I go check it out?
Yeah. Mostly just because you could just see how uncomfortable he is, because they're just not having it. Like, he went out knowing he was going to bomb. I don't think he bombed so bad, but there were a lot of things that he thought were going to get a pop, or like where he usually gets a pop, and it didn't pop. And then he comments on it, on them not popping, and he's like, wow, you know, the lighting here is really good. I can see all of you guys having not a good time.
So even the audience is kind of, well, I guess you kind of build that audience, right? You put the out group out of things that you're not looking for, and they don't want people like Shane Gillis and his fans to show up at Saturday Night Live. They want, what's that Asian dude's name? Clinton Bao or whatever. That's what the audience they want. So I guess that's who shows up at Saturday Night Live now. And then, you know, they do their thing. But I haven't watched Saturday Night Live in long time.
Every once in a while, like, they'll talk about, you know, something went awry, like Bill Burr said something crazy or whatever, so I'll watch it. But when I saw Shane Gillis was on, obviously because, you know, the history of him getting fired from Saturday Night Live before he even did a single episode, I was just like, what are they doing? Like, he's not woke. He's not what they want, yet they're bringing him on. They know what he's going to do. It just didn't make any sense. But it got people talking about it. So, it did.
I wonder what the ratings were for that episode. I'm sure that they were higher than usual, undoubtedly. Yeah. But yeah, that's interesting. And it's good that it happened, I guess. I don't really know, like, is this some sort of, you know, cultural hallmark where, you know, things are going to start getting, like, pushed back a little bit? I don't think so. Seems like things are just accelerating more and more, but it was definitely a ratings boost for 1 week. I did see the AV Club, you know, all the critical. I love looking at the people who were critical, like the journalists or writers or whatever you want to call it, that were critical of Shane Gillis's appearance. I didn't watch it, so maybe it was bad. I don't know. I like Shane Gillis. I think he's funny and I like his stand up, but I don't know. And I watch his skits too. But then when you're working with this new group of people who probably don't really like you, I don't know. You know, maybe it was bad. I don't know. But
yeah,
I looked up the AV Club one in particular, and I think I tweeted it out. I don't feel like pulling it up. Go to my Twitter, home_made_man. And I just said, my favorite thing to do is to find a picture of the people who write these articles who just bash, you know, good stuff because it's bad. It's not politically correct. It's not, you know, it's not good in their eyes. And they just look exactly like how you would think every single time.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a cheap shot, right, to throw that in somebody's face. But I'm sorry. I don't respect your opinion if you look like that. I know what you're about, and you're a big dork. And this man who wrote this article, again, if you want to see it, I don't really tweet that much, so you can find it towards the top, home_made_man. And he looked like, you ever see Will Sasso play Kenny Rogers?
Not that I can recall, no.
So the guy just had like this white beard and kind of salt peppery hair, fat, nerd. Like you could just tell he got pushed into a lot of lockers. And he had his pronouns. And I'm just like, okay, I know what you're about. It kind of sucks because it's one of those things. It's like, okay, if you have a coexist sticker on your car, I know what you're about. And you can see pictures. And if you have pronouns in your bio, I know what you're about. I know.
Yeah, purple hair.
We're just not going to get along. And it's unfortunate. But yeah, so you can go check that out. And I did see Kurt Metzger responded to it. Let me see if I can find that down here at the bottom. He said, I'm sorry to, but this is too funny to not immediately put on blast. Also, am I mistaken? This club is in Seattle's historic Chaz district. Kurt looks up to heaven. Thank you, George Floyd. I'm about to have some fun on Twitter after I take a quick, poo poo, but he used the word be right back. So, comedians are now just getting out of their own business. They're not going to host comedians anymore. They'll host bad comedians and probably not make much money, but I don't know. I mean, like Seattle is a place that they do have a culture there, and it's a bunch of lunatics, the vast majority of them. So they can have their stupid comedians and maybe people will go and watch these people because they find it funny. I mean, comedy is subjective. So, I would like to know though, how many tickets Kurt Metzger and these other guys were selling compared to what they normally, the approved ones, how many tickets the approved comics are selling. That would be good to know.
Yeah, man. I would kind of like to go see what comedy with the Seattle comedy circuit looks like, just out of curiosity. But it's probably not great. Probably not great for people like us that like things a bit spicy. I mean, I feel like comedy clubs are kind of like strip clubs, right? Like you go because you're going to see some stuff you typically don't see and hear on the street in everyday life. You know, you go to the strip club and it's like a different universe with naked women dancing very suggestively. You know, you're drinking aggressively. Usually it's just it's an alternate reality. And I feel like comedy clubs are the same thing, at least for people like you and I, where, you know, people can scream racial slurs and it's cool. Like it's whatever, dude. It's for the sake of entertainment. It's for the sake of making people laugh. But when you take that away, I don't know what's left.
I just hope that we can, it sounds bad to say self-segregate, but I mean by ideology, not by race. Right. Like hopefully we can just kind of like, okay, you do your weird, dumb stuff over there and we'll do our, according to you, racist, dumb, hick stuff over here. And we'll all just kind of stay separate, but equal. And we can, coexist, in the cities. Like that's the best case scenario, unfortunately. Like, I don't know, how else to say it. Like the alternative is getting stabbed and stabbing each other or shooting each other with guns. So hopefully, we can just do that. And I'll stay out of Seattle.
Yeah.
And, y'all stay out of Pinellas Park.
That sounds good.
We'll leave it there. We'll leave it there. Shout out to Jeff, my man, Jeff. My old buddy, Jeff. I haven't seen this man in a long time. This dude, he picked me up in a bar one night.
Jeff did?
Yeah.
Did you know Jeff before he picked you up?
No. I met Jeff at my old haunting grounds, Goose's, up in Largo. I had just broken up with a girlfriend. We just split up, and I was really sad, and I couldn't find any buddies to go out with me. And I went by myself, and there was this dude there with this other guy. And he just kind of came and sat next to me. We started chit-chatting, hit it off. And Jeff was my friend. I hung out with Jeff a lot after that for a while. So what's up, Jeff? Good to see you, man. Hope you're well. And thank you to the Fat Pig. And thank you to Joe. Joe commenting all over the place, my man. And Kevin and all the other folks out there. I'm going to try it. I'm going to say 50% chance I get a video done tomorrow. If I can get maybe two a week, one with you, one maybe tomorrow. And I think that's going to be good. I'm going to get back on track here. Slowly. Mentally, physically, We're gonna get, we're just gonna get back on
spiritually, financially,
spiritually. I like that. Spiritually. Yeah. Yep. That's it. That's the show. Thanks so much for tuning in. Thank you, Anna Hummel. You can catch her on the Bubba Love Sponge show, wherever that plays. And you can check me out on the Weekly Checkup on the Bones Saturday mornings and willsyoutube.com, hmbradio.com, and on your favorite podcast app. I got extra content that's only available over there, so go check me out. For Anna Hummel, my name's Will Koontz. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon. Farewell.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.